All Souls Night by W.B. Yeats. Midnight has come, and the great Christ Church bell, and may a lesser bell, sound through the room. And it is All Souls Night, and two long glasses brimmed with muscatel bubble upon the table. A ghost may come, for it is a ghost's right. His element is so fine, being sharpened by his death, to drink from the wine breath, while our gross palates drink from the whole wine. I need some mind that, if cannon sound from every quarter of the world, can stay, wound in mind's pondering, as mummies in the mummy cloth are wound. Because I have a marvellous thing to say, a certain marvellous thing none but the living mock, though not for sober ear. It may be all that here should laugh and weep an hour upon the clock. Horton's the first I call. He loved strange thought, and knew that sweet extremity of pride that's called platonic love, and that to such a pitch with passion wrought nothing could bring him, when his lady died, anodyne for his love. Words were but wasted breath. One dear hope had he. The inclemency of that or the next winter would be death. Two thoughts were so mixed up I could not tell whether of her or God he thought the most, but think that his mind's eye, when upward turned, on one soul image fell, and that a slight companionable ghost, wild with divinity, had so lit up the whole immense miraculous house the Bible promised us, it seemed a goldfish swimming in a bowl. On Florence Emery I call next, who, finding the first wrinkles on a face admired and beautiful, and knowing that the future would be vexed with minished beauty, multiplied commonplace, preferred to teach a school away from neighbour or friend, among dark skins, and there permit foul years to wear, hidden from eyesight, to the unnoticed end. Before that end, much had she ravelled out from a discourse, in figurative speech by some learned Indian, on the soul's journey. How it is whirled about, wherever the orbit of the moon can reach, until it plunge into the sun, and there, free and yet fast, being both chance and choice, forget its broken toys, and sink into its own delight at last. And I call up MacGregor from the grave, for in my first hard springtime we were friends, although of late estranged. I thought him half lunatic, half knave, and told him so, but friendship never ends. And what if mind seemed changed, and it seemed changed with mind when thoughts rise up unbid on generous things he did, and I grow half contented to be blind? He had much industry at setting out, much boisterous courage, before loneliness had driven him crazed. For meditations upon unknown thought make human intercourse grow less and less. They are neither paid nor praised. But he'd object to the host, the glass, because my glass. A ghost lover he was, and may have grown more arrogant than a ghost. But names are nothing. What matter who it be? So that his elements have grown so fine. The fume of muscatel can give his sharpened palate ecstasy no living man can drink from the whole wine. I have mummy truths to tell, whereat the living mock, though not for sober ear. For maybe all that here should laugh and weep an hour upon the clock. Such thought have I hold it tight, till meditation master all its parts. Nothing can stay my glance, until that glance run in the world's despite, to where the damned have howled away their hearts, and where the blessed dance. Such thought, that in it bound I need no other thing, wound in mind's wandering, as mummies in the mummy cloth are wound.